It is starting to happen, like, more often, though.
Yeah, well, what's weird is at airports now, there will be people waiting with, like, tons of stuff for me to sign, and they're like, we've been waiting here really? All day.
Oh, yeah, it's getting bad.
Wow.
Like, okay, are these, like, middle-aged guys who look like they might not have a lot of hobbies, and they're like, please sign this? I mean,
sometimes.
They are all.
Like, where is the place that, like, the
baggage
most people...
claim, rental car
well,
places.
Well, what happens is they'll find me, like, right after we put our bags and we're heading to TSA, they'll find me, and then when we land, they'll, like, call their friends in Arizona, and they'll be like, hey, our guys called us from Miami and told us you'd be on this flight, and then they're, like, waiting for us.
Yeah. How do they know, like,
that's what
when
we
you're...
Can't figure
we,
out.
Yeah, we can't
that's
figure
what
it
we
out.
Can't figure
and that's
out.
The creepy part. That's the really weird part. Like,
all right, you guys know Gamma. They just came out with their new Airbender paddle. Being able to change your paddle is a game changer with the new Gamma Airbender. With the variable weighted end caps and Zorbicon Shockbuster gel inserts, you can tailor your paddle to fit your game perfectly. That's right, Zorbicon Shockbuster gel inserts. Adapt on the fly and reduce harmful vibrations for smoother play. Get your Airbender today and use code DINK10 for 10% off your purchase on gammasports.com. That's all caps DINK10 for 10% off your purchase at gammasports.com. Everybody's going to want the Zorbicon Shockbuster gel inserts. So go get yours. The new Airbender paddle from Gamma.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie, daughter has fun.
But on that note, I mean, we can start. all right. So we can jump in here. I'm late to my own podcast. Thank you for your patience. Did Zane keep you guys entertained?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. We already had the interview with Zane. I think we're done here.
Any question you ask can be like, well, Zane's already asked that question. So
all right, well, maybe we don't start with a question. We start with an opportunity for you two to make a statement.
Oh.
Does that sound good?
Yeah, you want to make a statement?
Is it the statement I'm thinking of?
Yeah, I think
no.
so.
Well, what's the statement you're thinking of? Hold on.
Yeah, wait.
I don't know.
But if you want to take it in that direction.
I mean, I thought we were going to do this thing where she knew what I was going to say, and we were going to say it at the same time.
Well, now I'm confused. Like, Thomas confused me.
Have you seen the TikTok where people are like, you look at somebody, you try to think of the same word, and then it's like 3, 2, 1, and then you like say it?
Yeah.
You've seen that?
Yes.
Does it work?
It's more like a couple
sentence. I've done it with Ben. Well...
That counts.
I've done it with Ben, and we've actually gotten a couple.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Huh. But I think people probably tell each other before they do the
no.
TikTok.
No. Well, maybe. But we didn't, and we got it.
All right, so your 16th birthday.
16th?
From what I understand, it was your 16th birthday, right?
I'm 17 now. This
yes,
year.
Yes. Yeah. But,
oh, you mean last year?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You did have
why don't
a 16th birthday.
Down
I
get to
like,
my question.
Well, I was like, what?
All right, you got a Range Rover Sport 2021?
Yes.
Okay, so I wanted to give you an opportunity to maybe talk to Carvana and ask why you didn't get a 2023, you know, like HSE. The guy owns the company. You know, I think it's a little cheap. Is it 2021?
Well, my parents actually picked out the car, so.
I guess it's our fault.
It's their fault, yeah. Well, the thing about the Carvana thing was I didn't know it was going to happen. I was just going there because they said we might do like a video, and my agent actually flew in, but I don't know, I guess because I was 16.
We told her we were going to do like, a meet and greet with Carvana.
Yeah.
It was like right,
right
before the
know.
Tournament. And
then
yeah.
they like pulled the car down, and my mom's like, this is your car. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't know who gave it to me at the time. Like, if it was just my parents and they used Carvana, or if it, like Carvana had given it to me.
Right.
Like, no, it's Carvana. So
yeah.
That was pretty cool. I don't know how they picked out the car. I know they used the app, I think, but I don't know.
Well, you had told us, like, the kind of cars that you liked, you know, before your birthday. And so, yeah, we just dealt with Carvana and finding what we thought you would like. And then we did the whole surprise reveal thing, and then we shot the commercial after.
Right.
So that's
oh,
how
okay.
that's how the commercial
yeah.
all came out.
And then
it,
after
got
I got the car, because I didn't have to pay for the car, I got it wrapped. So I was like,
nice.
All right,
wait, did you do like what color?
It's like it's like different colors depending on like the sun.
It's
so
like iridescent.
It's, yeah. So
oh,
like
wow.
a super
light blue,
bright,
iridescent.
It's like goldish blue, and then at night it's like a matte blue. So it's cool.
So when you show up to the local pickleball courts, you get out of your iridescent Range Rover. You're 17 years old. You're like, I'm here to play.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Well, Carvana, I'm open for business too. Like,
yeah.
Whatever you want. I don't need a Range Rover. I'll take a Hyundai, whatever. Used, new, doesn't matter to me. So
I know, right? That's a pretty sweet 16.
Cool.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. I'll never forget, no pun intended. Sweet 16.
Yeah.
Did so they actually that? Like bring it down the vending machine?
Yeah,
thing?
They brought
the whole,
it down the vending.
They gave her a coin. They were like, "Hey, you want to see how the vending machine works?"
A coin?
Yeah, they have these big silver coins. That's how like whoever goes to buy a car, they get the coin, and you stick it in the vending machine. They call it. So she's like, "Oh, cool!" And she throws the thing in there, and then the car comes down. I think it had a bow on it.
Yeah, and it was a Range Rover. And I'm like, "Oh, that's the car that I want!" Like, ha ha ha! And they're like, "Oh, it's yours!" And I'm like, "What?" And then they made me drive it around the parking lot, and I was like,
"So scared.
Don't crash!"
Yeah,
because I don't think I had my license.
You had your permit.
I had my permit. But there was a camera guy and his camera's on me and I'm like, can I turn in two? Like, make sure to keep, like, don't crash this car.
So is that ad played, obviously it's played on a ton of pickleball stuff, but is that like a national ad? Is that a TV ad as well? Do you guys know?
I think it's only played when pickleball's played, but I think it's played whenever it's on like a national
network.
Like
if it's on ESPN or something like that, it's played, but it's during pickleball.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
It plays
in my dreams because I've seen it so many times.
I know, I'm sorry.
We even got sick of it for a little while in the beginning, yeah.
All right, so let's ask a real question. And this is a little more vague, but you're the number one player in the world in a fast-scoring sport, Annalie. Just generally, what is that like? And then I want to know, from your perspective, what's that like? All the hype, the pressure, being her mom.
I guess I'll go first.
You'll go first.
Yeah, I'll go first. Well, it's kind of weird to say this, but I've been playing professional pickleball since I was 11. So it honestly feels kind of like the norm, just going to like a tournament. And I feel like I've kind of grown with the sport, so I kind of... Like, if I would have just started playing pro pickleball when it was this big, I think it would have been harder for me because it would have felt more like a big deal. But because I started when it was younger and it was, like, taped courts when you were playing pro, it just, like, doesn't feel like it's that big of a deal. So, like, I feel like now, even though the sport's way bigger and it is a huge deal, I go out there and it still kind of feels like I'm just at, like, a local pro tournament playing pickleball. Not saying that the pressure doesn't get to me all the time because it does, but... I think it's just helped me accept the fact because I've been doing it for so long. Like my first number one title was I was 14 in singles. That's when I was ranked number one for the first time.
Yeah.
So it's been 3 years now. So I think, you know, the longer that I've been number one, I've just kind of figured out different ways to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you almost like naturally eased into it with the evolution of the sport.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Probably made it easier.
It did for sure. Like when people say, Annalie, like, how do you, you're only, I'm like, well, I've been doing this for like a long time now. So it's like, people like looking in on the sport now, I don't think realize how long I've been playing.
No, because everybody thinks it's brand new.
It's a brand new sport.
They don't realize that people were even playing pickleball.
But it's been it's almost been like a decade now. Like we're on getting ready to go on 7 years that I've been playing the sport. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
And as far as like from my perspective, I don't know how she does it. Because for me, I know if I was out there, I would be so nervous all the time. The pressure would be getting to me. I'd be afraid to afraid to lose every time I stepped on the court. But somehow, I think what makes her number one and the reason she's been able to stay there is because she is so mentally tough. And I think that you can definitely work on your mental skills, but it's also something that's sort of, I think, innate in you to believe in yourself and to have that kind of confidence. And she definitely has it. I mean, she's had a couple moments in time where she's cracked. And unfortunately, it's in the public view.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that it's only happened once or twice and with all this pressure and all these eyes looking at you and how often we as pros, well, I don't really play anymore, but we have to play. I mean, mm-hmm. you play so many matches.
And the thing is you're playing like the same people at every event or at every tournament. So it's like, man, I just beat this person last weekend and now I got to do it again. And then, you know what I mean? And especially if the draws are similar. Like, I think I played Lina. It's really hard for me to say a lot.
Patigamite.
Yeah. Well, I play Lina. Like, I played her almost every tournament for like 8 tournaments in a row, and it's always a tough match. Like, it goes 3 or it's close 2. And it's like, if every weekend you're like, oh my gosh, I got to play this girl again who could potentially beat me, whether that's Lina or a mixed doubles team or whoever. So I think that's something else that is difficult because you look at tennis and you're literally playing somebody different at every tournament because mm-hmm. there's just too many tennis players to play the same people. Whereas pickleball, it's like, this person knows every shot I'm going to hit. You know, I know every shot they're going to hit. So, you know, I guess we'll see how this goes type thing.
Yeah, but I think I have a real admiration for her for what she's done and what she's able to do. And, yeah, just really proud. And I love that I got to play with her when I did, and now I get to coach her.
I think she makes it a lot easier for me too, because she's on the bench, so I automatically feel more comfortable on the court, because right. She knows what it's like to be a pro athlete, and she knows how to coach me, especially because she's my mom. Like, regular coaches may not know necessarily how to coach a player, because maybe somebody likes being yelled at, maybe somebody needs more of a cheerleader on the side. You know, it really depends on the player, and she knows exactly how to coach me. So I know if I'm in a tough spot, she's going to help me get out of it.
Mm-hmm. And what is that? Do you want her to yell at you, or do you want her, yeah?
She said a couple things that cannot be said on camera.
It's okay. We have a swear jar. Yeah. If you swear, it goes to a good cause.
For a good cause.
No, it's like she'll blatantly say, Annalie, you're playing bad. You need to play better. You're going to lose. Like, she will say stuff like that to me. Or Annalie, get your head out of your butt and play better. Like, or Annalie, you know.
Things I would never say as a mother, but like, I just know how she works, right. And I know what she needs, and I know, like, sometimes I'll say things to her on the bench that aren't even pickleball related, just to, like, get some emotion, just to get it fired her up, and, you know, she'll be like, thanks a lot, why'd you do it? And then she goes out there and plays an animal.
That. Yeah.
So, it's just...
I play better when I'm, like, fired up, pumped up, like, angry. Like, if somebody makes me angry across the court, I'm like, why'd you do that? Like,
yeah, right.
You just made me play better.
So, are there any, like, particular challenges of, obviously you have Annalie as the player, but then there's Annalie as your kid, right?
Yeah. Like, you would think that there would be a lot of challenges, and I think that's probably like a question I get most from fans, you know, is like, how do you do it? I can't play with my daughter. I could never, you know, have that type of relationship. I think maybe the fact that we played together first really helped, because we formed this really strong teammate dynamic when we played together, which was not mother and daughter. I mean, even when she was 11 and 12, she was coaching me out there as much as I was coaching her and giving strategy points. And
I think too, because like, if you see like a kid, I'm just gonna use tennis as an example, playing tennis and their parents coaching them, but their parents never played the sport, the kid's kind of like, how do you know what to tell me type thing? And I have a lot of respect for her as a player, because before me she was ranked number one, so I really like know what she's saying is the right thing. And it's not like I'm just like, oh, like, why are you telling me that? I like want her to tell me things, which I think makes it work better, because if I was like not wanting her advice, that's where like problems
I think the
start.
Other thing that helps too, which people might be interested in, is that I don't plan her training. Like, I don't plan her training, I don't do her workouts, I don't plan her day. She does the entire thing. She says, Mom, I want to hit it 9 a.m. be at the courts. You know, I'm at the courts, and then I'll be like, what are you doing today? Well, I have, you know, my trainer Brandon at this time, I'm going to PT at this time. You know, she does all of that, so she doesn't feel like I'm running her life, you know. And so I think we're really able to separate that, like, if she tells me, Mom, I'm not playing pickleball for 3 days, I'm like, okay, don't, you know, she's not getting that sort of pressure. And so I think the mom coach thing doesn't really intersect.
Well, she's
that
also
often.
Not the type of person who's like, you need to play pickleball every day for 3 hours a day. Like, she kind of believes, because I am so young, like, if I don't want to play pickleball, it's better to not play pickleball that day because of how many years I still have left in the sport, and to not get burnt out. So there's a lot of times after tournaments where I think people don't realize, like, sometimes I'll take like 5-6 days off of not playing pickleball. Like, I'll still work out. But if I've just played a progressive draw for like 5-6 days in a row, by Sunday, I'm like, I don't want to see a pickleball again for a long time. So it's like, I just, yeah.
What do you do when you're taking that time off? Like, what's
Well, I train, I'll do school, because I'm still in school.
Oh yeah, right.
Unfortunately.
That thing.
And then I'll do fun stuff. Or we might have commitments. Like, we were just in California for FILA at the Indian Wells Tennis tournament going on there, so maybe I'll have something like that
right.
I just can't play pickleball, so there's always something going on.
What about college? Are you gonna go to college?
Maybe after pickleball, maybe some online course, not right away.
Okay.
Because that would be like, after this summer, I would be going to college, and that just doesn't
I think
make
you
sense.
Could go to like any school you want to, though. This is a pretty sick resume.
Like I thought Forbes, about like maybe after pickleball, like trying to play soccer in college because yeah, I love soccer cool, so right? much.
That'd be
so.
Sweet. Just kind of like the J.R. Smith, right? He played in the NBA yeah, right. and went back and played college golf.
Oh, that's yeah. cool.
Like,
so that might be cool.
Do you play soccer at all anymore?
So, what was it, a year ago? I said to my mom, I was like, hey, I want to go watch my old girls team play a soccer game. And when we got there, it was a scrimmage. Like, there was a ref and there was another team, but it was like a scrimmage.
And you happen to have your cleats in your backpack.
No, but I was like, I said to my coach, I was like, hey, can I play in this? And he's like, if you want to. And it was all the girls I knew. So they were like, I'll loan you my cleats. Like, right. I'll give you my jersey, yeah. like whatever. Like, and I'm like, I called my trainer and I was like, hey, can I play? And he's like, he didn't really want me to play, but he knew how much I loved it. Because I didn't really go off on my own terms. Like, the last game I played, I didn't know it was my last game.
Right, yeah.
And he was like, if you want to. So I ended up playing for, like, 20 minutes maybe. And it was, like, the best 20 minutes of my life. And now I'm kind of at peace with the fact that I'm not playing. Because before I used to get really upset about it. But now I'm like, okay, I knew it was my last time. I'm fine now.
Mm-hmm. What about when you're out in public? Do you get recognized ever, either of you? I asked Zane this. He says every once in a while there's some random guy in a scooter. He's like, Zane.
Random guy.
But it's that's not too common.
Well, it's actually funny because today when we were getting our rental car, the lady was like, what's your name? And I was like, Annalie Waters. She goes, hold on. My manager told me to wait for, like, if you came up to, like, go in the back and get him. And then she went to the back, got the manager out. I think it was Alamo. And the guy comes out, like, takes photos and is, like, this big pickleball fan. So it's like, the most random places, kind of right. like Zane said, where, like, somebody
recognizes. It is starting to happen, like, more often, though.
Yeah, well, what's weird is at airports now, there will be people waiting with, like, tons of stuff for me to sign. And they're like, we've been waiting here
really?
All day.
Oh, yeah, it's getting bad.
Wow.
Like, okay, are these, like, middle-aged guys who look like they might not have a lot of hobbies, and they're like, please
sign this.
I mean,
sometimes.
They are all guys. They are
I would
all
be
men.
A little scared if I wasn't with my parents. Like, if I was just traveling right. by myself, I think I would be a little freaked
Those
out.
Those autograph guys can be but, a little interesting.
That's yeah. creepy. Where's like, the it's a little strange. Like, where is the place that, like, the
baggage
most people...
claim, rental car
well,
places.
Well, what happens is they'll find me, like, right after we put our bags and heading to TSA, they'll find me, and then when we land, they'll, like, call their friends in Arizona, and they'll be like, hey, our guys called us from Miami and told us you'd be on this flight, and then they're, like, waiting for us.
Yeah. How do they know, like,
that's what
when
we
you're...
Can't
we,
out.
Yeah, we can't
that's
figure
what
it out.
We can't figure
and that's
out.
The creepy part. That's the really weird part. Like, yeah. are they there for, like, 3 days ahead of a tournament? Because, like...
They told, like, the last time, they were like, we've been here all day.
Okay.
Yeah.
But we don't know if they just, like, if they just know the flight we're on. Like, we don't know.
As I said, not many hobbies, I would assume.
Well, we think they're selling the stuff online.
Yeah, yeah. They go put it right on
One
eBay.
Time, what the happens, guys brought us a portrait of me and gave it to me as a gift for signing all the things. Like, it's just
oh,
like,
really?
Yeah.
I think what happens more than her, like, getting just recognized, like, right off the bat is, like, you know, you go into a store or whatever, and, oh, why are you here? Pickleball. And then they'll be like, wait, are you? And right. you know,
I swear sometimes
recognize
people recognize, like, I was at Blaze Pizza once and the lady was like, she wasn't happy. You could tell she wasn't happy. And then she looked at me, started smiling and was like, what's your name? And I just said Anna because I didn't want to like,
yeah.
I was like, Anna. And she was like, it was like she knew, but she didn't say anything. Like, her whole mood changed. And then, like, we went along, she didn't say anything. But, like, I swear that happens
people,
all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, they just don't say anything, but they know.
It's almost worse because they're just looking at you and staring at yeah. you. And they're like, is that the person?
Yeah.
Like, is
yeah.
that not the person? Yeah. And they're just staring. And I don't think they realize that they're just right. like looking at you. I'm like,
yeah.
that has happened to me a few times. Yeah. I'm sure a million times more for you guys. But just the stare is so much
just
worse.
Just go, yes. Yes.
All right. So I'm sure you've had some unique events, like some really cool experiences. What's the most surreal experience, whether it's like hanging out with a celebrity or, you know, like Josh Richards giving you the birthday shout out? I hope that's not the answer, but what would be
the
most surreal
answer.
Experience where you're like, how is this happening to me?
I might honestly, I'm sure there's been a couple times, but I might say this last weekend at Indian Wells when I was at the tennis tournament and like a lot of the pro tennis players and people working on Tennis Channel all knew who I was. And I was sitting on the booth and I was like, I don't know, I felt like pickleball had like made it in a kind of sense, right? Because Coco Vandeweghe was like talking to me like, yeah, I've seen you on TV. Like all these people had like seen me and I was like, whoa. Like, and we met Francis Tiafo and yeah, he was like, yeah, I've seen you play. Like don't you have a tournament coming up? Like it's like all the pro tennis players know about pickleball, whether they want to admit it or not. They like keep
it was
up
cool
with it.
We were sitting like in the Fila box watching the night we were watching Alcaraz. And all of a sudden we looked up and we were on like the big screen. And then I started getting texts. Vinny Brasha texted me. He's like, you just got the coolest shout out, you know, on TV. And then we found out Jim Courier had said, like, that's Anna Lee Waters. She rarely loses or something. Yeah. So it's like, it did kind of feel like, I don't know, like an elevated experience. Yeah.
It was on Netflix, right?
This was the Indian Wells,
the BNP Paribas, the big ATP.
It's like they call it the fifth major.
WTA.
It's like
not it was a an major. Actual tournament. Yeah, actually, Nadal like, and Alcaraz played recently for like an event.
Yeah, that wasn't that. That was in Vegas, I think, or something like that. Yeah. No.
All right. What about this? Who's the coolest contact you have in your phone?
That's tough. I don't think I have that many. Like,
I know who it is.
Who? I mean, Gary Vee, that's a pretty cool one. You have that in your phone?
You do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do. Ooh.
I do?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
It sounds like somebody's like got canceled or something.
No, it's not somebody who has canceled. I mean,
have her number.
All right, do we get five guesses?
Yeah.
Okay.
Joe Biden.
He's not a her, I don't think.
Yeah.
Damn. Oh, it's a she.
It's a she. Yeah.
Miley Cyrus.
No.
Why can't you say it?
No, I mean, we can say it. Necessarily know 100. It was an email.
Yeah, I got an email from account. Serena Williams.
That's awesome.
But I don't think I have her phone number.
No. Yeah, I don't know.
What was it about? Well, let's
pickleball.
Keep going.
It was about pickleball. I think it was like during like all the MLP stuff.
Yeah, she was
stuff.
Just wondering like the what about like it was going crazy and she was just kind of like what's going on type
okay
thing.
Yeah. In our investigations we saw that she had trademarked Serena Williams pickleball but that was like
really?
A year and a half 2 years ago and then nothing really came
of it. When this email it was like early on
we'll let that slide on a technicality. We'll take it. You interacted with Serena Williams via some form of messaging. We're going to count that.
I mean, I think like all the people that I have in my phone are all people that are involved, all the cool people involved in MLP. So probably a lot of people
owners
have their numbers in their phone too.
Right.
So I kind of wanted to go back, if you don't mind, to what a normal day of training looks like for you. Because I'm sure a lot of people are very, very interested in what the world number one pickleball player does to train. So if you have an average day, what would you say that looks like for you?
So if there's a lot of tournaments going on and I'm not home, then it's way different. But this is like, I'm going to give you, if I'm at home for 2 weeks in between a tournament, I've just taken a couple days off and I'm starting to get back to training. I'll usually play pickleball in the morning for like an hour and a half, you would say is our usual. And then I'll go to training with my personal trainer for another hour and a half. And then I'll usually either play pickleball again or do some other type of physical activity again in the afternoon.
Okay.
So and it's usually anywhere from like 3 to 5 hours of
work. I mean,
work.
I think it's very rare that you ever play pickleball twice in one day.
Yeah, but it does happen.
Sometimes. It happens, but it's rare.
Well, what I've recently started dabbling with is like playing an hour in the morning and then playing an hour in the afternoon. And I think that might be like interesting to start using like on the days that I'd like really feel tired or don't really want to play, like just go out and play for an hour and then come back and play for an hour instead of just like an hour and a half or 2 hour slot.
But I think probably the last couple of years, if you added up all the time that she spent training, more of it has been
gym and PT
over actually playing.
I probably
play
pickleball 4 to 5 days a week.
Okay.
Probably like once a day, sometimes twice if it's like before a tournament and I haven't played too much. Like this time, I didn't play that much after the last event. And then trying to like ramp back up quickly, that's when I'll play like twice in a day. But if I start earlier and have like 2 weeks, then I don't play twice in one day.
And it's always until a few days before the tournament, it's all drilling.
That's what I was going to ask. So what would you say is your sort of your ratio of
80-90% drilling?
Okay. I was curious because
you just say 89%.
80-90%.
I was going to say a very specific percentage.
Oh, no.
Well, yeah, you're only playing 2 hours a day. That people might hear that, and that's not a ton. But in 2 hours, if you're actually doing focused drilling, you can get so many more reps.
Yeah, and we're not taking long breaks, you know. Yeah. It's like we're doing drills, grabbing a sip of water, and like getting moving right back on. Out there.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to, I know we have a lot of people in South Florida, but it's hard to like get a group together because some people don't want to play with some people, or they have other, they already have pickleball planned. So it's like really hard.
Or like they're on different, they're playing APP and your schedules just don't align. So it really is.
Or you just want to play women's doubles and you don't want to play mixed, or like one guy doesn't want to play with three girls. So it's like tough to get a foursome together. Usually I'll grab her and then like sometimes 250 guys or something like that. Mm-hmm. And not even like the top names that you would know that live in South Florida.
Sure. So what are you going to do if you're in a 1 hour drill session? If you two are drilling together for an hour, like what is that going to look
like? Well, there we have drill days where it's like we're just going to do a little bit of everything. So in the hour we'd hit dinks, whatever. We always start out with a lot of dinking, like every which way.
We do a lot of basic like, okay, today 100 in a row, another day 400 in a row, another day 200 in a row.
We do 400 in a row.
Dinking. We did that once and we stopped.
And we only count her dinks. We don't count mine.
Oh my goodness.
If I miss, it doesn't count. Like, yeah. But she can't miss because I'm gonna miss.
The 400 in a row was a day. We literally had to stop the rally because we had been dinking for so long and I was at 400 and I was like, all right, I feel
What's
good
the world
this.
Record? We should try and like break that or set it.
We used to do count that on volleys, but now it's like there's no point in hitting slow volleys trying to get it. Like, you know, that's not the game anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then there's some days where we'll just like work on stuff where this is like, all right, we're just going to figure out a new shot or we're going to.
Or you feel like you're struggling with
one
shot.
You know,
a lot of times we come home from a tournament and she's got a list of like.
The funny thing that I've just realized is I was having a lot of trouble with my thirds. And I couldn't figure it out because I used to never miss thirds. Like when we would play together, it was always her that missed the thirds, not me. And now I feel like it's the other way around. Like I'm the one missing thirds and she's the one making them. And for up until like 6 months ago, I was using a fiberglass paddle. And with that paddle, you have to hit a lot. Like your strokes have to be flatter. Like you can't hit a lot of spin.
It was like
butter.
Yeah, there's no grip.
But it's got
the ball slides off.
Yeah,
paddle.
But it's got a lot of pop, so it's like it's a good paddle, but it didn't have spin. So when I was hitting my thirds, you have to hit them differently. And then I see like when Anna and like Rachel Rohrbacher, when they're hitting their thirds, they're like going like this, and like I tried it with my fiberglass paddle, and it goes straight in the bottom of the net.
Yeah.
I'm like, how are they making these thirds? Like I couldn't like wrap my head around it. And then the other day, I think it was like couple weeks ago or something, I was like, I'm so sick and tired of this. And I take my carbon fiber paddle and I take it and I go like this and it's like a perfect drop. And I'm like, it's been the paddle this whole time.
It's always the paddle.
I never, like, I didn't try.
No,
like,
it's weird how technology can like alter the way that maybe you swing or like, I mean.
Yeah.
So I feel like all these new players are coming in and they're hitting all these spinny speed ups and all these spinny shots. And I feel like a lot of my game is, like, I'm very consistent, but I'm very flat with all my shots. Like, all my speed-ups are flat. My dinks are flatter. My backhand roll has spin, but other than that, like, my game, I feel like, is pretty flat. And now with this paddle, I'm having to, like, change a lot of my game to make it better by adding more spin. So, like, the drop is one thing I've just figured out where I'm having to, like, do the Nadal on my drop, and it's way better. So I'm sure there are, like, other things we'll figure out in drilling where, like, if I go like this or if I, like, really drop my wrist and go like this, like, you can come up with some cool shots.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you've both been playing for, like, when was your first tournament together? That was...
when was 11, our first tournament so together? What year did we win nationals?
2019, so it was so 2018.
Casual. I'm like...
2018, I think, was the first tournament we played.
Tournament together. You must have been playing for a decent amount before then.
A year and a couple months.
But yeah. You've seen the evolution go from paddles where you really can't get hardly any spin to now what we have today with the carbon fiber. But you've been able to stay pretty much at the top of the game throughout that entire time.
Yeah.
What is the process of innovating and adapting. And I would say you guys came in and innovated immediately. You guys got, you guys were called bangers. You had the pickleball purists furious at you because you were speeding everything up. And in that way, you were certainly ahead of the curve of the way that pickleball is. You basically set the meta of how everybody is playing now. So you're ahead in that way. Are there areas like your third shot where you need to, where you feel like you need to adapt to the current technology or gameplay?
Yeah, well, I feel like right before COVID, that's when we were starting, you know, we finished the year number one, we were hitting the ball really hard, and then COVID came, we didn't play much pickleball, we came back, and everybody was hitting the ball hard, and they were beating us at our own game. Like, they were hitting the ball harder than we were,
We couldn't figure it out.
We almost quit, because we were like, we just must not be good anymore.
We just got destroyed by people, and we were, and like, they were just hitting the ball so hard, and we couldn't counter. We were like, what's going on? Well, we found out everybody had started lead taping their paddles. Mm-hmm. And so not only were they playing more aggressive, the ball was just heavier. It was just coming at us with, you know, just that force. And so that was when we actually started putting lead tape on our paddles.
Yeah. And I think we also hadn't really worked on dinking that much. And I think that was also when we were like, all right, we need to learn how to dink. And we just hit like tons of dinks and that type of thing. So I feel like every time we're kind of stumped with something, like all these people hitting spin, or we like figured it out, and then we're like, all right, we're good at all this, so this is pretty much the only thing we need to work on to like kind of elevate. And I feel like that's why we've stayed on top, because people bring something at us, and then we're like, okay, we need to work on this, and then get it to that level. And that just keeps...
I think, too, like, one thing that's helped us is because we've played so long, and because the paddles were, I don't want to say, like, inferior, but, you know, very different.
They
like,
were bad.
We had to, like, learn technique, you know? We had to, like, learn how to dink properly, and we couldn't, like, allow the paddle to do a lot of the work. And so I think, like, in tight moments where technique can break down for a lot of people, the fact that Annalie has, like, really good technique and, and like, can dink 100 to 400 balls in a row if she has to really helps and has helped to keep her, like, at the top, too.
Right.
I feel like I dink way more now than I used to. Like, I'm very selective with the balls that I decide to speed up. Even though it looks like I'm speeding up a lot. Yeah, it's like now you have to be like really careful on the balls you pick, or else it's like everybody can hit the ball really hard now. Whereas it used to be like you just sped up the ball and people were like, what? Like, you know?
So you are now playing with a new paddle. You have the carbon fiber technology that you're getting used to, like, were you involved in obviously creating this? And tell us a little bit about it.
So it's funny because when I was playing with my fiberglass paddle, it was the only paddle from any company that I ever liked. And everybody was trying to sponsor me as a kid, and I was like, this is the only paddle I like. So that's why I went with Paddle Tech. And then I was very stubborn from that point on. Like, this is the only paddle I can play with. If I played with anything else, I'd suck. So when Curtis and I and my mom were designing this like ALW line, Curtis was like, we need a carbon fiber paddle. So we were basically designing this paddle and I wasn't going to use it.
She wasn't even sure if she was going to use it.
Yeah, we were just going to create the paddle because everybody was using them and, you know, we thought it would be good for the consumers. And I was just going to stick with the one I was, you know, playing with. And then I hit with it for a little while. I actually hated the paddle for the first like couple weeks.
Yeah, because
like,
you had never
hit
with it.
I couldn't figure it out. I was like, what? How is anybody using this? And then after that, it was like kind of like a light switch went off and I was like, this paddle is better.
Yeah.
And then I started using the carbon fiber. So it's kind of funny how I didn't want to use it and then ended up really liking it.
Mm-hmm. And you guys just re-signed with Paddle Tech somewhat recently. Mm-hmm. You know, you had to have had Yola and Selkirk and all these guys
all
knocking
over you.
at your door.
Throwing like absurd amounts of money.
Right. What's the decision like to stay with Paddle Tech, who, you know, at that time doesn't have the same sort of resources that these guys are throwing around, some of the competitors? Like,
well, I think one thing was they believed in us, like, from the beginning. Like, they were the first people to really say, hey, we think you guys can be good. We like, you know, the way you guys play. And they were kind of the first people to kind of say that to us. And then I think loyalty is, like, a big thing. So, you know... And I love my paddle. Like,
She didn't want to change.
I didn't
want to
change
she
my paddle. Like,
so
I tried the Yolas and I tried the Selkirks
and we have seen players. I mean, I'm not going to call out players by name, but we've seen players switch paddles and all of a sudden they can't. They don't do it. They're not doing as well.
Yeah, or the opposite.
Or the opposite. Correct. So it's kind of like, and that was one thing that our agent really kind of enforced with us, because she said, I've seen it so much in tennis where, like, you go, you know, a player will go for the money, switch to the racket, they can't win with the racket, and then they come back begging their old sponsors,
and it's
please
not,
take me back.
It's not like,
you know,
the Paddle Tech offer was, like, way in, more inferior than the other ones.
No, that's not what I meant. No.
Like, the offer was better, if not the same, as all the offers. So it was pretty much everybody was at a level playing field, and it was like, which paddle do I like the most? And, you know, we love the Selkirk owners. They're the nicest guys ever. But
Curtis and is just like, we're like family, yeah. And like Annalise said, like, loyalty is like really important to us, and it just seemed like the right decision. We really didn't have to think much about it.
I mean, Curtis has always been really good about like using our input too, and we didn't know if we went to another company if they'd just hand me put a paddle in my hand and right. be like, use this. Whereas with Curtis, I can like design my own paddle.
Yeah, I mean, you hear like Ben's going and prototyping and mm-hmm. like tweak this, tweak that. Is that something you've ever done?
Yeah, he'll like, well, I won't necessarily like go in somewhere to like a lab yeah, and like right. do that, but he'll send me like different options, and he won't tell me. Like, we talk about the stuff he's putting in the paddle, but he'll be like, all right, here are three paddles. I'm not going to tell you what's in, you know, which one, and you're going to see which one you like the best. And he'll label it like BA or like something weird where you yeah. have no idea. And then you'll hit with it and you'll be like, I like this one, or I like this part about this one, and then you kind of create your paddle. But it would suck if you like went through that process, created a paddle, and then hated it, which has happened before.
Right.
Not with you, but
not
with
other
me, people.
But with other people, yeah.
Right. How many years is that?
With Paddle Tech?
With Paddle Tech, yeah.
Like, how long have we been with them?
No, how long is this? So you just renewed? Is it like another year?
You've
another
been
3 years?
For, yeah, it was a longer term contract, but I think you've re-signed like a year ago. Yeah. I just re-signed a couple months ago.
Yeah.
So yeah.
It seems like yesterday when you announced that you were re-signed.
Yeah, I know, right? I feel like we were just actually in Austin, like, playing this tournament.
Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. I think, did I play with Deckel here last year? Was that 2 years? That was 2 years ago. I played with Deckel.
So you just re-signed. Are you back or are you not back? What's,
yeah,
what's the
yeah,
deal,
wait,
Lee? What's going on?
By.
Well, I think that I more re-signed, like, as, like, a almost like a Paddle Tech coach, you know. I mean, that's not my title. But or like advisor, or not really sure, or maybe come back. But between coaching Anna Lee and then coaching Tweener King, like, if I had to worry about myself and try to like train,
I don't have enough
time in the day.
She gets a lot of practice from, and like,
well, yeah,
good
because,
practice
because I train with Anna Lee for an hour and a half, 2 hours a day. And then I train with Christian for an hour and a half or 2 hours a day.
She's
so I'm getting a lot
like
of reps. I'm getting a lot of reps. But I played a local tournament with Anna Bright a few weekends ago, and that was a lot of fun. And we won that one. So I don't know. We do have like a little announcement though.
Yeah.
I
mean, her comeback.
Now
is
absolutely the time.
The floor is yours. Better be interesting.
Your comeback has not even scratched the surface yet.
Well, here's the thing. Like, yeah, I dink and do all those things for 4 hours with Christian and Ann Lee, but I don't get to play like ever. So like, I need a lot of reps because.
All right, let's see if we can do this. One.
Drum roll.
Two, three.
We're playing in the US Open.
We did it. Oh, the laugh was the same too. Let's go.
So yeah, so we're, Anna Lee and I are going to play in the US Open in April together in Naples. We actually haven't played that tournament in a few years, so it'll be kind of cool.
I've always done bad
back.
There too, so I'm hoping to break this curse, and we are going to win there for the first time together, and then we will have won all the majors, quote-unquote majors of pickleball.
So you have not won a U.S. Open, Pro
We've
U.S.
Not,
Open?
I haven't won a U.S. Open in any division at the pro level. I've won, like, the 3-0, 4-0,
I don't
like,
think we've
whatever.
Played U.S. Open for, like,
three years,
maybe?
Yeah, so what's the deal with that?
Since Zane, before
can,
COVID.
Zane, you can offer some insight here too, but to me it feels like, I mean, I think it was like 2.5, 3 years ago or something. Like, I remember listening to Freestyle Boys.
Yeah.
And Ben and Rob are talking about the terrible experience at the U.S. Open. And then that seemed to be the last year that, you know, they had like the top echelon of talent.
Yeah.
And since then, the U.S. Open has kind of been like second tier in
yeah.
my mind.
So the
now
U.S.
it's
Open
new
was,
ownership, right?
Exactly. New ownership. They're very motivated to like up the amateur and pro experience.
They know
the US Open.
That
the
nobody
shortcomings.
Liked that
they know the shortcomings.
Yeah, they do.
And I'm pretty sure I think they told me that they're announcing soon, like for 2025, like all of the upgrades. Whether the pros will be allowed to play in it 2025, where we don't know, I guess.
But how does that work for you? How are you guys able to play in it?
So we put it in our contracts.
Okay. I have a very good agent.
So we're and I think it, like everybody knows that by now, so it's not like a big secret.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just like important. I mean, that we love the PPA and the tour, but it was important, like, just that the U.S. Open and Nationals, we were still able to play. Just
I think USA like Pickleball tournaments. Yeah, mm-hmm. USA Pickleball is still like a big organization. They have a lot to do mm-hmm. with our sport. So like,
and that's where we that's where we started. You know, was with the U.S. Open and with USA Pickleball.
And I think they're trying to grow the sport a lot internationally, and that's what pickleball needs. So if we can help support that and, you know, stay on their good side and help them and they help us, I think it's a good.
Yeah, hopefully they have sports betting for that one. I'm going to put can a decent amount on you guys.
I don't think so.
Well, I'm 17 now. So
was it 17 or 18? I'm not sure.
Wait,
I'm
pretty
sure
there was restrictions based on who you're betting on?
On age,
from an age
because
standpoint?
I was 16, yes. Nobody could bet on me, which was like a problem because I was in a lot of the finals. So they were like, well, nobody's going to be able to bet.
So right. Like they can bet with for like free games or things like that, but not for actual money. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if the age was 17 or 18.
I think it was 17, but maybe not. It would make sense.
And it could depend on the state regulations as well.
Hmm.
I just remember the PPA being like, Ailey, turn 17, so people can bet on these matches.
Okay, but to put a bow on it, you have not closed the door to making a full-on comeback.
Well, you played mixed doubles with Christian.
Oh,
I played with Christian. He was supposed to play with Jesse at the Masters, and she was injured with her elbow injury. So it was like literally me or no one else.
And that was the first. She wasn't even supposed to be cleared for that tournament, but she practiced like 2 or 3 days before the tournament.
Yeah, I went into my PT and I was like, do you think I can get cleared for this tournament? And he put me through a whole bunch of tests and he was like, you're good to go, but only mixed doubles, not women's yet. Because women's obviously requires a lot more movement on the female part. So I got cleared, played. Yeah, we had an upset, I'd say, at the Masters. And so that gave me a little bit of confidence. And then I kind of had an inkling that I was going to be playing US Open. So that's why I asked Anna Bright to play in the local and, like the skills I feel like are there, but like the mental game for me wasn't quite there. I had a lot of ups and downs, but, it was fun to be back on the court. And I mean, it'll be the first time that we've played together since my injury, could be the last, I don't know, but it's going to be cool to be back out there together.
For sure.
Win or lose, I can say. I don't know.
We're going to win.
I don't know.
Yeah, as we were sort of saying beforehand, like I got my start playing with my dad in tournaments, and we were, I guess I was, you know, I was out of high school at that point, so mm-hmm. we weren't at the, you know, father-son sort of age. We were more like the just playing as friends, and you know, some of those memories are just absolutely incredible. And so it's cool that you guys get to run it back at the US Open.
Yeah, excited.
Okay, react to this. We saw this circulating. It kind of circulated, died, and then it came back. This is a sentence from the Daily Mail referring to Anna Lee.
Okay.
She has a reported net worth of $1.4 million. I'm just going to let that sit and you react to that.
I mean, what do you want? Like high, low? What do you
No, you can talk like, about how has the money in pickleball evolved over the past few years, being able to actually turn this into not only a sustainable career, but one where you can make a good living, better than the average.
Well, we talk about this a lot, especially recently. Like when we first started playing, I think our combined deal with Paddle Tech was like $3,000 for the year. And we were like, what? We're getting $3,000 to play pickleball?
That's crazy.
We're getting paid?
That was like 2017, maybe 2018.
Okay.
Yeah. It was probably $3,000 each, but whatever. It was like
I don't like, think what? So because at the time mom was playing pro. I think they just kind of added me.
No,
to this.
No, it you were me. The one. It was you because you were literally the only kid, young person like competing in pickleball tournaments at that time. You and William Sobeck.
That's right. That's right. That's funny.
And but yeah, I mean the fact that you can even say that number with pickleball is crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy. I never. Thought. I mean, we started.
I mean,
out just playing
especially
for
this sure. year with everything that's happened and the money that's like being thrown around and that everybody's making. It's like I don't like to think about it, because if I think about it, it's not real. Like, I don't know. I just think about if you start thinking about all the money you're making, you put way too much pressure on yourself. You're like, oh, I need to keep playing so I can keep making this amount of money or whatever that may be. So I just try to not think about the numbers. Like, I know a ballpark of what I'll make this year, but I don't know the exact number, and I don't want to know the exact number because, you know, I just think it puts way too much pressure on yourself.
Feel free to throw that number.
Well, I mean, I would love to know the exact number. But yeah. Just, I'm sure there are plenty of people, but no, we won't get into that.
Have you had any, like, big brands from outside the sport reach out, like, you know, a Nike or a Lulu or...
Well, Fila is a big, like, I don't think people really realize, because Fila's been in the sport for forever, but Fila is a huge
international, worldwide
company.
And I think they're actually... might be bigger internationally than they are like in the US. Mm-hmm. Like they're huge in like Europe and
And
Korea.
They believed in pickleball from the beginning and they're getting ready to take some big steps and even make pickleball bigger in other countries, et cetera. So that's one. And then there's a couple that I can't say yet that I will be announcing soon that I'm excited about, which everybody will know those brands. So
what about like about some that reached out, you maybe entertained it, it didn't come to fruition.
Yeah, that's happened on a couple.
That happened on one. I was actually using the product, like on.
You can name that one.
No, I can't. Well, I was using the product. I used it on a couple interviews, etc. No. Well, I still use that product.
Still love Oakley.
Yeah. And they ended up not having the budget in the end, but it was still cool because that company was even interested in sponsoring me.
Right.
So I think we'll see more of that.
And then there
in
was
future.
Like a really, really big one that got thrown our way, and it was like, "Don't get excited."
Well,
like,
I think I got a little too
and
excited.
And we got really excited.
That would have been like, was that one maybe like a year and a half to 2 years ago?
No, this was like last year, in the past six months.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you Octagon is your agency, right?
Yeah.
So they know what they're doing.
They do. And they're great. And they've taught us so much, like just about sports marketing. And
I mean, we've turned down deals too that weren't huge companies because we didn't feel like they fit, or we thought it would look
or it was
weird.
Too much time. Yeah. Some of these companies want so much of your time, and when you just don't have that much time to give, it's just you can't do it. It'd be more stressful than it would be worth, you know.
Yeah.
So that's another thing that our agent's really good about is like time management and not making sure that we don't take on too much. Because she's seen it in the tennis world where somebody wins a tennis tournament, a big tennis tournament, they get all these endorsements and then their game goes down because they're, you know, lose focus or they're traveling doing other things. And so we've just tried to like keep things manageable, you know?
Yeah. Right.
So are you working on the Gucci sponsorship?
I am trying so freaking hard. You just don't even know.
Yeah, you and I have an axe to grind on that.
Yeah?
I think I'm the original Gucci in pickleball, to be quite honest.
That is so true.
I mean...
Maybe we can collab.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. We'll count it.
Go to them as a joint entity. See if you can make something happen.
There we go.
She says we can share all of our clothes. So anytime she buys something, she's like, we can share it. So...
I need to start having you buy it, though. You can afford it more than me.
Like, it's funny. Like, she has this jacket in her closet, and I have the shorts that match in mine. So it's like,
that will come together.
Yeah, it's perfect. The Gucci jumpsuit, walking out of your Range Rover.
Well, she has a Range Rover, too. She's a Range Rover mom, too.
I didn't get it for free, though. So,
she has the big one, and I have the sport one. So it's like, mama Range Rover, and then, like, baby's Range Rover. Like...
I've got a Hyundai Elantra, if anybody was wondering.
All right, let's talk about... now, I called you, and I was like, can we talk about this? You were like, I don't care. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Lobgate. What was dubbed Lobgate?
Oh,
I want to know,
man.
After
it's like all
that,
the things to be remembered for.
What's your... Well, because, I mean, that went, like, decently viral.
And it just didn't go away.
It got
like,
picked
up.
Like,
literally... Followers from it.
It still doesn't... I still... get DMs to this day over that day.
Like, quit complaining?
Like, yeah, like, or, you know, like, oh, are you going to cry if they lob you? Like, you know, just all these.
They
like,
were,
yeah.
like, giving her, like very threatening messages, like, you're such a bad mother. What are
you
teaching to your child?
I got pure hate. The only good thing was I got, like, a lot of social media followers that weekend.
There you go.
I guess people like to see you,
people
like,
love controversy.
Fall from grace. You know, I don't know. But, no, I mean, it was partially like a good learning experience. I can look back and kind of laugh, and we joke about it all the time.
Yeah.
You know, that day really did pissed me off.
Well, it's funny because like I was playing Regina in a tournament. I think
can
it was,
I
like,
give
last
a little
year.
Backdrop on what yeah. happened yeah, for those who don't know? So
I don't know how you
I think it was
know.
A Vegas PPA, yes. right? The sun was really bad on one side of the court.
Right.
You guys were playing Jana Grichkina and Regina Franco Goldberg. And basically, they were using the angle of the sun to their advantage, and
like
they were relentlessly
yeah.
lobbing.
Yeah, yes. It was
you
literally
see
every
it.
Shot.
You
it was
whiffed on a few.
Ball. Oh yeah,
it's getting chippy out there. Jana starts hyping up the crowd. She's like, "This is perfect. I'm in her head," and it just became this like viral moment that was put on social media, picked up by all these different publications and outlets.
Everyone.
And so. I guess the question would be, you know, what's your stance on lobbing into the sun now?
Well, okay. So, like, I totally get it. And, like, those close to me were like, you know, it's part of it. It's a strategy. Like, whether you agree with it or not, it's a strategy. And I'm like, yeah, but I would never do it. And they were like, but that doesn't matter. It's, like, part of the game. It's a strategy. Get over it. You're wrong, you know? But, like, when we switched sides that day, because it ended up going 3 games, right? Because
yeah.
I got so fired up and angry that we ended up losing game two. We right. switched side. We switched back. We get on the good side. And I said to Annalie, I was like, we're not lobbing. Like, we're not doing the same thing, even though we could have. Because, like, just to me, I would never do that. But I've accepted the fact that I probably was in the wrong for acting like I did.
Probably.
Annalie was, like, the adult that day.
Yeah, she was, like, holding you back.
She, like, grabbed me and she was like, Mom, like, shh.
I remember on a timeout, I push her to, because my trainer was at that tournament, I push her and I was like, deal with her. Like, just deal with her. I don't want to deal with her. It was funny because she's pulled me out of like situations, not like that, but where I'm just like totally, and I was like, all right, Mom, I got to
save
you.
I mean, I think you literally, you just like lose your mind for a second and you don't, I mean,
well, things are intense. We had beaten them pretty bad the first game and then they start doing this. I think we were thrown off a little bit because we, you know,
weren't expecting it.
We weren't expecting it. And Mom's overhead is actually like one of the best overheads like in women's pickleball at that time. So I think that was kind of frustrating too, because if there was no sun, she would have
quite a few balls. And then I tried to put the sunglasses on. That didn't help. I think it almost made it worse because I had never played in sunglasses before.
I mean, if it happened again though, you would not have the same reaction that you had.
Well, I mean, I also learned like what you should do in that situation, like just let the ball bounce.
Yeah, right.
You know,
just back up.
And like don't act like an idiot and don't get chirpy with your
I'm still
opponents.
Learning that one. Don't act like an idiot. What do you dislike a lob more than Colin Johns dislikes a net cord?
Oh, poor Colin.
She dislikes a lob into the sun more than
lobs into the sun. Get me. They do.
Yeah.
They get me.
That's funny.
Colin is a net cord.
Did you see the exhibition yesterday?
In the exhibition. he played it perfectly. So there was the Amazon exhibition that you guys put on, right?
Yep.
I forgot who the influencer was, but dude,
Josh Richard.
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah.
We've shouted him out like multiple times now.
Yeah. I think he had like a broken arm yesterday too, and he was like still
hand
or something.
Well, he had an overhead that he spiked basically into the net and it clips the tape and goes over.
Right.
And you can see Colin is just like, Colin does his normal reaction like as if it was a real match.
My favorite
meant
is the
something.
Hat throw like goes down on the timeout call.
Oh, Colin.
I had a practice session with Colin probably like 4 months ago. We warm up everything. It's me and Deckel versus Colin and Ben. First point of the entire match. I serve. Colin returns to me. I hit a drive. Net cord into his throat. We called it. Over.
Are you serious? You just that was
no,
it?
But it was definitely ruined for like a good half hour.
Yeah. After. Oh my god!
Deckel was like, "Should we just go home?" I was like,
"Probably."
Jeez. It was very satisfying. I did not say sorry.
Okay, so what do you feel like you have a lot of pressure on you to win? Just given how frequently you win,
I feel people think it's so easy and like, oh, like she wins all the, like she should just like win every match because she can win every match. So, you know, I feel like a lot of people on social media are just like, if I ever lose or Ben and I ever lose or whatever, they're kind of like, this is the end of the road.
Yeah.
And,
there's
right.
a new sheriff in town.
Yeah. Like, oh, their reign's gone. It's like, wait, we haven't lost all year. This is our first loss of the year. Like,
yeah, but we
got to
entertain ourselves.
Thing.
We need to just keep winning.
But
we need some
thing.
New storylines.
Like, yeah.
That's what I am so impressed. Like, how do you play so many matches and just not one day just have just play bad.
Right.
You know, like,
well, I think that's why in doubles it's harder to do that, because you're, if you have a good partner, they can kind of help you with that. Whereas in singles, if you have a bad day, it's kind of like you're a little screwed. But, and I've definitely lost more in singles than I have in the in doubles in the last year and a half or 2 years, because I think that's the reason. Like, it's just me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You're smiling.
I know what's coming.
Yeah. Right. Because we want to talk about when you were upset by Tyra Black. And you had a very interesting reaction that I think confused some people.
Wait, can I just put some backdrop on that? So I think one of the things that puts the most pressure on her is not winning, like winning. It's when people start throwing records at her. Like right now she's at 97 and they're like, when are you going to win your 100th title, PPA title?
Right.
You know, and at that time, it was, I don't know why we did this, because we would never do anything for this again. But that was the fourth tournament
in a row.
4 weekends in a row. That was the fourth
one. And I hadn't lost.
And the record was, if she had triple crowned that tournament, she would have been the first to win 7 triple crowns in a row.
Okay.
Which is a stupid thing to want to, like,
accomplish. Who would even want that record? Yeah. Like,
so dumb.
Why I wasn't happy with 6 is something that I'll never understand. But before the tournament even happened, I was on the phone with my trainer, and he's like, Annalie, don't play singles. Because I also had, before the tournament, I did that collab with the Pointer Brothers the day before. Mm-hmm. I did some PPA tennis channel. I'm very emotional right now. PPA tennis channel, like, interviews. And then I had a workout that my trainer gave me that day. And I was just, and I'm like talking to him. And he's like, Annalie, you're not in the right headspace. Do not play singles. And I'm like, I have this thing. I have to win this record. I have to play this tournament. And he was like, okay, Annalie, I'm just warning you. Like, you're not. And I know it's an interesting day when I start out playing well in singles. Like, if my first round is good, like, that's kind of a problem. And I played Shelby Bates, I think, and won 0-0. And I was, like, playing really well. It wasn't necessarily because Shelby was playing bad. It was just I was, like, playing really well. And then I actually warmed up with Tyra that morning, mm-hmm. which I never warm up with
somebody.
I either warm up with Mom
draw.
Or Catherine or somebody on the other side of the draw. Like, I never warm up with people I'm going to play. But I didn't really have an option. It was, like, during her height of the ACL injury, she couldn't play. So I was like, I'll warm up with Tyra. I think Tyra's a really nice person, and I like Tyra a lot. So I was like, I'll just warm up with Tyra. So I warm up with Tyra, and then I have to play Tyra in the match. And my mom's like, Annalie, do you want to just hit a couple balls before you go out there? And I'm like, no, I got this. Like, I'm like, and I said that because I was really nervous and didn't want to have to warm up, because I tend to get more nervous with people who aren't highly ranked. And at the time, Tyra wasn't highly ranked.
Right.
So, like, if I'm playing Catherine,
like, you know her from home. Like, you practice with her.
But, like, if I'm playing Catherine or Leia or somebody who's, like, really top ranked in singles, I honestly feel less pressure, because I'm like, mm-hmm. if I'm going to lose, this is the person who should beat me.
Right.
Whereas, like, at the time, I was like, oh, like, Tyra shouldn't come close to beating me at
the
time.
She had just started playing.
So, and the last time I played her, I'd beaten her, like, pretty bad. So I was like, all right, whatever, I won't warm up. And then the match, I think it was Christian and Tyson were on before me, and the match was forever. It was, like, 3-setter, super long. And then I was sitting for a long time, and then I go out and play.
And Tyra played really well.
Tyra was playing really well. There was a spot in the court where it was shaded, and it was really bad, and I was getting so upset at this, and I was just focusing on everything. There was somebody in the crowd too who was who had, like, heckled me on Instagram a lot and was, like, saying really bad things about me on social media.
So you knew this. You knew who this person was.
I knew who this person was.
Are they, like, an anonymous account and you know who they are? Or are they, like, they actually have their name on it?
I don't really want to say, because if I say, this person will probably just go even more crazy.
Right, right,
so
right.
I'm not
It must have been Jimmy.
It's just somebody else.
It's giving Jimmy Miller.
Well, I don't think Jimmy Miller was doing the podcast.
Yeah,
it's not Jimmy Miller. I will say it was that guy.
It's giving Jimmy Miller.
But he was cheering for Tyra, like, really hard. And so I'm just, like, going crazy. I'm like, Annalie, you're playing, like,
yeah,
blah,
everything
blah,
was negative.
Negative, and super negative. I'm not hitting my shots. I'm not playing well. Tyra's playing amazing. She's hitting a ton of passing shots. I'm also not playing her correctly. I'm just hitting it right where she wants it every single time. And my mom's like, Annalie, if you want to win this match, you're going to have to stop hitting it exactly. Anytime she has this shot, she goes here. And then I'm so upset I Ernie one of her thirds because I know where it's going. So I go and Ernie and miss it. And I'm like, Annalie, what are you doing?
Well, I've never seen her try an Ernie in singles.
Ever. I don't know what I was
doing.
But
in that moment, are you like in the heat of competition, you're trying to prove I'm so much better than you. I'm going to do like these extra things or I'm going to go right at you.
She was, that was one of the, I was referring to before where there's been a couple times where she's just mentally like broke.
Like I was literally having a psychotic break.
That's what I called like, it was this, that she like literally had a psychotic
and the whole time break. I'm like, please beat me, please beat me. I want to lose this match. I don't want to be here. I'm super uncomfortable.
Like, yeah, she was saying that to me like in the timeouts, like I don't want to be here on this court. I just want this to be over.
But
like,
what in that moment is making you uncomfortable? Like, why are you feeling that way?
I'm feeling tons of pressure from this record. Yeah. And also, I'm playing Tyra, who, like I said,
was
a newcomer. And I was like, oh, I was saying, if she beats me, I know the social media that's coming. Like, right. Stuff like that was just going through my head, which right. is stuff that you can't have going through your head.
And then you have a real life social media troll sitting courtside.
Yes. And then somebody who I had been friends with at the time started coaching Tyra mid-match. And I'm like going over to her bench and I'm like, Mom, like, what is she like?
There was
she
just a lot
over there coaching
going on at the moment.
Like so much stuff. And I was just like, that's why my reaction after I lost was like, yay, because this is over type thing, which I regret. I shouldn't have done that. I should have let Tyra have her moment. I should have said great match, you know, pat her on the back, whatever. I did thank the refs though. I didn't forget to thank the refs. I thanked the refs. And then I kind of like ran off, like kind of like tossed my paddle at my mom and like ran off, which I'm not proud of. But I had done before when I was like, younger. Like I just run because I like feel so like I just felt so uncomfortable.
Right.
But now I know like at nationals when I was down to Catherine in the third like 7-2 or something in singles, I was like, all right, Annalie, if you lose this match, you're gonna shake her hand, you're gonna tell her how great she did, you're gonna hug her, you're gonna slowly go to the bench, grab your stuff, casually walk off, like.
But I think that was like my post that I made to you after that was like, you know, everybody makes mistakes. Unfortunately, yours is on a much bigger scale than any of us when we were teenagers, when we made mistakes, you know, and you're going to learn from it. It's going to make you a better person. But unfortunately, you know, she had to endure the social media.
I even text Tyra after, I think the next morning or that night. And I was like, I'm so sorry. Like you played really well. Like props to you. I was just having a total, like, I don't really know what, out of body experience. Like, I'm so sorry. And to this point, like, I think Tyra's one of my better friends in pickleball right now. Mm-hmm. She lives close to me. We practice sometimes. I think she's a really nice girl. I think she's really good at pickleball. So, might have created a friend out of that, but.
To be fair, yeah. You did celebrate when she won.
I know. I was cheering her on.
So, some would say.
You didn't throw your racket. Your paddle.
I know. It was weird. So yeah. I know now that I'm not going to make that mistake again. But I will lose. It's going to happen. And I'm going to know how to deal with it when it does.
Thank God. There was not people live streaming my junior tennis matches. That would be the end of me. If any of that footage resurfaces, you might have to find another co-host.
So this Happy Gilmore serve that you did,
yeah,
is that like is
I've forgotten about it
effective
honestly, until you
at all
it.
Did you just do that on a whim? Like,
so in practice it is way better than the one in the tournament because I'm just
trying
like,
to pull a Zane, but
I'm trying to figure out how to break the
trying
serve
to innovate
rules. Yeah. And like in practice it's deadly. Like in practice I might even ace people with this serve, like it's so good. But then I get in a match and I get way too tight and I'm like oh, like I hit it way too soft. But it's interesting because like it really depends on the player. Like I played Brooke Buckner and she really didn't like it. She missed a lot of returns. And then I go play, I think it was it Leia or who was the girl I played
Mary
first
Brasha?
Round? Mary Brasha. Yeah, like Mary Brasha. And they handled it really well and it almost was a disadvantage. So I think like I have to try it early in the match and see if the person likes it or not. I think in mixed doubles it can be good too because it pulls the person if they're stacking out wide. So I think it's just like there are times when to use it and then there are times when it's not working and don't use it.
Are we going to see it anymore?
I mean, maybe. Probably. I had forgotten about it until now, so I don't know. But
can you get
we'll see.
Ben to do one in mixed doubles with you?
I don't know that Ben would want to do that much movement before the point would even start.
He'd have to tie his shoes, right?
I know, right?
Has he ever played a match with you where he hasn't tied his shoes? In a reel.
Nobody always warms up.
He warms up without his shoes.
He doesn't tie his shoes till like
the ref always says 15 like seconds. 15 seconds, and then he ties his shoes and then he does his arm thing. But yeah, no, he's. You would think that like you would want to warm up with your shoes tied because it would be dangerous, but not Ben.
We got to ask him about that next time he's on the pod.
He's just waiting for the moment where he can take it off and then use it as a paddle.
There we go. That'd be impressive. Honestly, if he does that during a game, it should count. 100%.
New right, rules.
Should we do a little like instructional segment here that we can clip out? Tell us about the two-handed backhand roll you've been doing. It's super effective when done right. Not many people have that in their bag, but walk us through it. When's the right time? What's the technique?
So when I was younger, I couldn't really hit a backhand slice dink. I like wasn't strong enough. I was too weak on it. So we were practicing with Kyle Yates one time and he was like, Annalie, why don't you just try to put two hands on it because your two-handed backhand's good and just try to roll it. And I could immediately do it. And I didn't know how I was hitting it for the longest time. It was just like natural to me. And then later in my career, I figured out it's a lot of like left arm. I'm really dropping my wrist and then use it like mainly my left arm. My right arm's just kind of there for support. So I feel like because of that, it's really good to use when somebody pulls you out wide to the backhand side because the further away you are from the court, the more angles you have to work with and the more you can really use your left arm to get around the ball. So if it's like really close to you, you honestly kind of have to hit it differently, more like Riley's like little bunt backhand kind of dink. So I would say it's probably most effective if somebody pulls you out wide. That being said, when it's close to you, you can speed up. So it kind of adds that element of like, is she going to dink this or is she going to speed it up? So maybe it's better to use when it's close to you for as far as that aspect of it. So I like it because my opponents don't really know what I'm going to do with it. I can dink line, cross, lob, speed up, cross court, down the line, down
the
middle.
All from the same position.
Yeah, like all from the same spot, which is really cool and really useful.
Right.
So that's why I like it.
We're actually working now. Oh, you were going to say that?
I was going to say that. You can
say
it.
On a three-handed backhand?
I use my leg as my third
hand. On a slice dink and a slice drop and a slice return. Just not that she would necessarily use it that much, but it can't hurt to have another
singles,
shot.
I noticed. I was having, like, if it was a short backhand, but not like... Not short enough to where I'm like reaching for it, but not deep enough to where I can like really hit a two-handed backhand. It was kind of in the middle and I didn't really know what to do with it. And now I'm starting to like slice it and then get up into the cat and mouse in singles, which I feel like is my strength. So that was really helpful. And I think that gave us the idea to then be like, all right, maybe if we slice some backhand dinks, it would kind of throw a little bit of spice into it. And then I'm working on like slicing and then like...
The pretzel.
Like the pretzel.
So the pretzel, is that the Tarzan Gabe shot? The Kyle and Gabe shot?
Yeah,
okay.
So I'm like, because nobody in the women's game has that shot, so I'm like, maybe if I
I mean, they might have it. They might just not use it.
Yeah. You're calling it a pretzel? It's like when you sort of line up the backhand and then you flip it around?
A pretzel is when I speed up at Wyatt Stone and he goes like this, and it looks like an Auntie Anne's pretzel. But
I'm pretty sure
that's how we use it over here in Texas.
I'm pretty sure we call it, when Gabe does it at home, we call it a pretzel. Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
I don't know.
Because like if I'm using two hands and then all of a sudden I go to one and do this, then they would know what I'm doing. But if I also have the slice in my arsenal, then maybe I could use it. I'm still figuring it out. I haven't used it.
And then you have
yet,
Junior Mint, which he doesn't go by that anymore. He does two. Mm-hmm. He does it both ways with both hands.
Oh yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah. I play with Jack all the time over here. I see all types of fun stuff that doesn't work.
He's on my Instagram reels, I think, more than any pickleball player. Yeah. I'm like, oh, there's Jack Monroe.
Well,
like,
he's another one. He's a you William Sobeck.
And Jack and Rachel
Jack
Elliott.
And, yeah, the Elliott.
Had some battles.
Only
back
young
in the
kids
day.
Playing. It was like the junior event, and it was like you four.
Yeah.
And Caden.
Yeah.
Do you want to do a few of these rapid fire questions?
I want to ask about the RV, and then we can do rapid fire.
Okay, yeah, never mind. RV. Go for it.
Well, tell us about the RV. And did you steal that idea from us? Because the first time we ever met, you guys took a picture in front of the dink van.
The dink van.
That is true. I remember that photo. It was in Arizona, I think.
Yeah,
it was. Photo.
Mesa.
Yeah. So the RV was interesting because I didn't have any, like, I didn't pick it out. I didn't have any dealings with it. It was all my dad. Like, he
it didn't
found,
come down the Carvana vending machine or what?
He found the driver, or he found our driver, Mr. Scott, who ended up being amazing. He's a bodyguard. He's a chef. He drives the bus. He's a super nice guy.
I want to talk about that too. The bodyguard thing.
Yeah. So so he's awesome. Just
I don't know
to
why
have
you pointed
at
me. I don't know.
I don't need
continue.
Oh, are we great? What are we talking about? The story that happened?
No. Continue with the RV.
Yeah. So we have Mr. Scott who drives the RV to the locations that can accommodate our bus or whatever you want to call it, RV. And after each match, I go into the RV and like kind of chill, watch the matches going on because there's TVs in it. But I don't stay, like we don't stay on the RV.
Yeah.
He sometimes stays on the RV and then we rent a house. And then, so it's basically just there for the tournament usage because we're there all day long. You're there from like 10 o'clock in the morning to like 8 o'clock at night.
It's like your personal clubhouse essentially. Yeah.
It feels like home. It's like, I think it's that's such an cool advantage because it literally feels like I'm going home. I can relax. I can kick my feet up, take my shoes off, eat some food, laundry, bathroom. Like it's got everything.
I mean, part of, I think, the advantages of the RV, which we didn't really realize when we got it originally, is the fact that, like, you know, we forget. I think most people forget that she is still a kid and in a world of mainly adults. And it's just nice to be able to, like, remove her from that. Because we are doing this almost every weekend or every other weekend. And it is very stressful and pressure-filled. And there's always some kind of drama going
on
about something.
Well, especially since I'm on the top, I feel like a lot of the pro players just don't like me because of that reason. So it's like, why do I want to, like, hang out with them after a match when they're not nice to it? Like, sometimes they'll make snarky comments to us or, like little jabs. Like, when we're like, dude, we're here to play pickleball. You're here to play pickleball. Like, can we not just get along without, like, having all this drama?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just
nice
good
to be able
to get
like,
away from that.
Remove,
what would
remove
we talk
her.
About then? What would we talk about?
But it's really, I think, helped to, like, just keep her mood and keep her stress-free and just allow her to focus on the matches.
For sure. It gives me a space that I can like warm up to because like it's really hard to warm up before a match, like physically, like doing stretches, etc. when there's so many people, so many pros. So if you have like a little area where you can just like warm up, use a band, it's like a big thing too.
Right. Okay. What's a bodyguard thing?
No. So like I've seen, I actually think it was Jimmy that said it. I don't understand why Annalie needs a bodyguard. And like when we hired Mr. Scott, he was, we didn't hire him to be like a bodyguard or security or anything.
He is an ex-cop though. But don't mess with Mr. Scott.
Yeah, he's like very high level detail. He's been around some crazy stuff. But this summer, and I won't say where because I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but this summer, a fan who actually liked her, we don't know this person, was so excited to see her that with running force, jumped on her.
Like bear hug, like full like, squeeze.
And he was a very big man.
Yes. And like I felt something like in my chest area, like kind of like pop-ish. And I was like, oh, I said, Mom, like I think he just like hurt me.
And I was like, oh, he didn't hurt
you. And this
was
actually a couple weeks before the Tyra match, which is interesting. But I didn't think anything of it, but then, like, I started not being able to get out of bed. Like, I would, like, go
and
to, like, sit out
hurt.
Of bed, like, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is killing me. And, like, probably, like, 3 weeks later, I get home, and I go to do a workout with my trainer, and I physically, like, can't work out. And it was getting, like, pretty bad. And we go and get in, MRI,
whatever.
And they were like, you don't have, like, a cracked rib or anything, but you have what's called, it was some
inflammation of the tissue between
they
the
said
cartilage
it feels
tissue,
like
whatever,
you're having a heart attack. They said, like, 30% of people who feel like they're having a heart attack actually have this. So it's like, oh my, like, so that was kind of when we were like, we need somebody.
So, like, so when Scott offered to kind of, like, walk with her at events, we were like, that would be awesome because, I mean, she ended up being out.
So, are
for,
you walking around events with this guy like on your tail now?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's in front of me, which I think is better because he kind of like, you know.
I might have to test this guy and see what he's capable of.
Yeah, test him.
Ooh,
there test
we go.
Him.
Yeah.
He's like such a nice guy, but if he like gets into a situation where he needs to like be authority, like, well, it's also kind of strange. Sometimes people come up to you and they like, you know, put their hand in weird spots sometimes. So it's like he'll come down. Like
does that happen to you, Zane?
No.
It doesn't.
No, but like somebody will come, like put their arm on me and he'll be like, no, like he'll like just take their arm and remove it. Like, so that's nice. That aspect of it is nice
too.
Well,
again, because she's she's a 17-year-old girl, you know, like she doesn't want like necessarily.
Yeah. You want creepy autograph guys waiting for you at the airport and dudes giving you random bear hugs. Okay.
Yikes.
We got a pressure washer
rapid
coming
fire
in the next door.
With the rapid
all right, let's
fire.
Do the rapid fire questions, then we can call it a day. Annalie, who's your, well, just real quick answers, one word or two words, just okay. Short, but who's your trickiest matchup in singles?
Oh, this is very hard.
Well,
it depends on the
fire.
Day. I know, it's okay. Rapid fire.
Rapid
give
fire,
me five
please.
Minutes and I'll come back. My trickiest matchup in singles, Catherine. Catherine's my toughest match.
Yes. Mixed doubles. That can be male or female.
Please
she's not good at rapid fire. I think it's Catherine again. Like, I don't know. Catherine
and Jack were tricky.
Catherine and Jack were tricky. I feel like it's people who have, like, high ceilings can speed up the ball, like, at any time. Like, that type of team.
Gotcha. Well, we can skip women's doubles because I'm going to guess that's Catherine if you're playing against her. Favorite food?
Chicken.
Favorite city to play pickleball in?
My hometown.
Celebrity crush?
Chris Hemsworth.
Who's your women's doubles partner in 2034?
My child.
You're going to have a child in 10 years?
I'm just doing the math.
You're going to have an 11-year-old child in 10 years?
And they're
going
to have to
years?
Be a prodigy. You know, a lot of things
Mom,
are going to
Mom, there's something
happen.
I've been wanting to tell you.
We're going to have to sit on that one for a little
bit. Wait, now would be a good time to ask her worst subject in school.
That's on the list. We'll start it off nice. Best subject in school.
History.
Worst subject in school.
There we go.
Favorite TikToker?
Alex Earl right now.
One change you've liked in pickleball over the last whatever 7 years you've
that it's become more aggressive for
okay.
sure.
One change you've disliked in pickleball.
I'm gonna say the paddles.
Really?
I don't like the new scale like of paddles. I think it's a good thing, but I think they might be a little too much right now. Just in general, like overall, like I'm not saying one company is doing it, I'm just saying overall I think the game would be more interesting if it was less spinny or less poppy. I'm going to say because I think the firefights would last longer. I think right now we're seeing a lot of like counter winners. Mm-hmm. And I think the sport would look better if people are like boom, 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 boom. Like, you know,
like we used to
really
have. There really aren't as many of those firefights like we used to have just because.
It's like in men's doubles right now. If some guy speeds up at one guy, they either put it away or miss the shot. Like there's no like firefight. Like the women can't necessarily put it away as much. But with the guys, like I think a lot of people would like to see longer hands battles.
I agree. I still remember some of those turn. I remember some highlights. I think you two against Simone and Corinne or Lucy from like Beer City 3-4 years ago. Yeah. Where you had like 30 shot firefights.
Yeah,
that doesn't happen anymore. No. We'll bring it back.
Yeah, bring it back just a little.
All right. Well, anything else that you guys want to add before we wrap it up and they can get to their power washing next door?
I don't think so. I think it was nice to be able to talk about some things that had happened before. Glad to get it off my chest.
Yeah, anytime you need therapy, you just come on the pod and
we'll
talk it out.
It's funny because we just wrote a foreword for a pickleball book that's being published. It might actually be out. And when the guy, when the author approached me about writing the foreword, he was like, but I don't want you to be upset because there's actually a segment in there about Lobgate.
I think we've I think people can say, okay, we've made mistakes, but I think we've made mistakes, learned from them, and they won't happen again. So
hopefully that's what people think.
We'll probably make it. No, we're gonna make different mistakes, but I hope we don't make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
So
you're so well spoken.
It's a good mother daughter.
Put me on
right
Dr.
There.
Phil.
I can see it.
What was the last thing? Oh, can we do if we come over to the tournament this weekend, can we do a tour of the RV?
Yeah.
Lock it in. Book it. Okay. What's his name?
Mr. Scott. And if you come at the right time, he also is an award-winning
barbecue
chef.
No way.
Wow. So he'll make me like grilled chicken or something like in between matches. But like if we come like a day before like Wednesday, he'll make like pork butt with like mac and cheese, coleslaw, and like baked beans, like.
So you got to time it.
Really,
time it just right. You'll
dang.
Get some
come
food.
At lunchtime.
Okay. That can be arranged.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thanks for coming on. We'll let you guys go. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank pickle box.
The pickleball box?
The pickleball box.
Yeah, oh, just kidding. It's the pickleball box.
The pickleball box.
It is a subscription box.
Gear, accessories, apparel.
And it comes straight to my door with all the hottest pickleball gear in here.
It's so hot, I can barely...
Over $250 of value in each box, and you only pay $99 for each one. Go to thedink.shop, undoubtedly, the best gift for any pickleballer, or if you're like me, or anybody who listens to this, you're obsessed with pickleball, this is honestly like the perfect thing for you.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, I had fun.